Bible, friends, speaks of many complex things, things that are most definitely hard to understand. But when it comes to the matter of a person getting right with God, a person that is being saved for ultimately, that really is what the Bible is about from start to finish. It's about God's redemption, how a person can be redeemed from a life of sin and brought into a right, proper and saving relationship with God. When it comes to those matters, well, a child could understand. In fact, it's easier for a child than for an adult, I would say, because, well, the years add to us not only sin, but hardness of heart and a growing cynicism as we grow older. So for a child, you see, that hasn't been indoctrinated with the cynicism of years, that hasn't been indoctrinated with the foolish myths of evolution and other strange and weird philosophies of men. No, as the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The darkened and sinful and rebellious mindset. So when it comes to the matter of salvation, well, as they say, a child could understand. The simplest of you could understand, that is, if you believed. Many people, they say, well, I don't understand. Well, you don't understand because you don't believe. You don't have to understand in order to believe, to trust in a person. You have simply, and first of all, to trust, to believe, that is. And then, of course, the understanding will come. So, as I say, it's a matter, as I have said time and again to you, it is a matter of faith, it is a matter of believing, it is a matter of trusting in a person, and that person, of course, is God's Son, Jesus Christ. Command of God for you this afternoon would be this: first and foremost, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. It doesn't get any easier than that. But of course, we do have to understand the origins of faith, where it comes from, and we have to understand, of course, what faith is, what we mean by believing. Well, the origins of faith, the Bible tells us, it is the gift of God. It is not something that you work up in and of yourself. It is not something that you can produce in yourself. You can no more believe than you can put yourself right with God. With you, this is an impossibility. How can you, who are accustomed to unbelieving, who are unbelievers by nature, how can you possibly just turn around and of a sudden say that you believe? Well, you might see it, but seeing it and actually doing it are two different things. There are, of course, people who make professions of faith for all different kinds of reasons. Many of them, it has to be said, are counterfeit. They are not the genuine. They are not the gift of God. No, it is a gift from God. It is a grace gift, that is, God gives it to whoever He pleases to give it to, and whenever He pleases to give it. It is by grace lest any man boast. You see, it's all of God from start to finish. The grace, the sheer, unadulterated gift of God. And he gives it to people who, well, you would estimate to be less deserving than others. But then, you see, God's mind doesn't work like your mind. You would perhaps give it to some nice, respectable, religious person, but God doesn't operate that way. God takes the foolish things of this world to show, to demonstrate the wisdom of God, that it is greater, of course, than even the wisdom of this world. Now, God gives the gift of faith to those who you would judge to be unsocial, rejections of society, from the lowest parts, echelons of society. He plucks some, as we say, as brands from the burning. Those who have ruined their lives, perhaps in a sinful course, people maybe perhaps that you would write off. God takes them and makes them trophies of his grace. They might have been ridden in drug abuse. They might have been thieves. They might have been murderers or all kinds of wrongdoers. And you would judge them perhaps to be beyond redemption. And God, in his glorious grace, steps in, intervenes, and takes somebody from such a situation and gives them the gift of faith to believe on his Son, Jesus Christ, in order that they might be saved. He transforms their lives and, of course, their eternal destiny. But lest a person believes, you see, unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you cannot be saved. The capital crime, you see, the greatest sin of them all, is rejection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. You see, you can have a whole catalogue of sin behind you. You could name the worst of sins, and many of them, but they can all be forgiven, you see. They can all be blotted out of God's book. But rejection of God's Son to the end of your course is the capital crime. For that, you see, there is no forgiveness. Belief in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in the Son of God, with a God-given faith, that is, a faith which is the gift of God, not produced by your intellect or anything else, is what brings a person salvation, redemption. Faith is an act. It is the act of believing. It is the act of trusting in God and what he has promised in his Son Jesus Christ. But before all that, it is union with Jesus Christ. In its deepest reality, the essence of faith unites a person to Jesus Christ and unites that person to him for time and for eternity. It's called, you see, the principle of faith, and it's a principle that God installs in a person's heart and mind, in their soul, by his grace. He gives it, as I say, to whoever he pleases to give it. You can't work it up. You can't work for it. You can't be good for it, religious for it. Simply because a person is religious, and may even call themselves Christians religiously, does not necessarily mean that they have God's gift of faith, that they have been united to Jesus Christ. The principle of faith that God gives is that faith, you see, that enables a person to receive Jesus Christ. They may have been for a long time rejecters of Jesus Christ, just like many of his own people whom he came to. The Bible tells us that they did not receive him. But it goes on to tell us that those who did receive him, they were given the right, the authority, that is, to become children of God. Many people, of course, live under the false notion that they are children of God simply because they were created by God. Well, in a general sense, that may be so, but in the sense in which a person belongs to the family of God, they must first and foremost receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, as he is revealed to us in the Bible, not in your imagination. Oh, there are many, many people who would tell you that they believe in a Jesus who is like a genie in a bottle. You know, he's just there conveniently to be fetched out the bottle and do your bidding. That's not the reality of faith. That's not the faith of reception of Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the Bible. All of him, yes, as we might say, the good bits and the bad bits too, the things that we like to hear him saying about his love, grace and forgiveness, but of course also what he says about hell and its damnation. So reception, you see, you may well have been a rejecter. Maybe you looked at the Christian faith and you thought to yourself many, many times, not for me, thank you very much, even rejecting the notion that there is a God. I have a friend who is now a Christian who for many years was a sworn atheist. He would have stood here and he would have argued up one side and down the other that there was no God. Nobody would ever convince him that there was. But now today, God has sovereignly intervened and broken down that wall of separation, of rejection, and he has come to that place of receiving Jesus Christ as his Savior. A God-given faith. You see, you might have said that he was the last person on planet Earth who would ever have become a Christian, but he did by the grace of God, not through anything that he had done himself. So faith, you see, first and foremost, is a principle, and that principle is placed in our hearts by God in his sovereign grace and mercy, and that person is able to do what they were never able to do before, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And then, of course, this principle of faith that enables a person to rest in Jesus. You know, they rest from their own works. Maybe for a long, long time they've tried to be good. They've tried to overcome sinful habits and the like. You know, the things that plague us these days in the world. It may be drugs, alcohol, immorality. It may just be malicious gossiping. It might even be addiction to religion. You know, there are many, many and various addictions that we suffer from, do we not? want, you know, and we want to get out of them, we want to be better of them, and we try and try, we work, and we want to please our spouses or our families, and we promise them that we'll be good, and we try to be good, but the more we try, the worse it gets. Because you see, we have this sinful nature within us, and we just can't help ourselves from doing the things that, well, we even know them to be wrong, but we still do them. Because you've got a nature in you that's contrary to God, and no matter how you try, you just cannot for the life of you be good. But you see, this principle of faith brings a person to rest in Jesus. To stop trying to be good. Stop trying to work things out in your own, to work out and bring about even your own salvation. It rests in Jesus. Not your work, religious or otherwise, respectability otherwise, but resting in what Jesus Christ has done. Because what he has done in his dying on the cross, especially his atoning death that he suffered, shed his blood, that he was dead and buried, that people, that he accomplished this on the behalf of sinners. The principle of faith, you see, enables a person to rest in what Jesus did, not in what you can do. Because all that we can do, the very best of our deeds, our righteousnesses, God declares they are like filthy rags. That's the best of our deeds. So what on earth does he think about the worst of them? So you see, people, it's resting, faith is resting in Jesus, in his person, and of course, in what he has done, accomplished, in dying for ungodly sinners to take away their sin and to take the punishment that was due to them. A person is able to rest, you see. And of course, ultimately, it unites a person, this principle of faith, it unites a person to Jesus Christ. It brings you into a bond, into a relationship with him that just never comes to an end. You know, we put our trust, do we not, in human relationships, some kind or variety of another. Whatever and however good the human relationship might be, there's none of us can say it's forever, or we might do so. We might buy one another eternity rings and we might say it's forever, but we know it's not, because even the best of human relationships will be severed eventually by death, if not by something else. They all come to an end. But this relationship, this being united by the principle of faith to Jesus Christ, is a most exquisite relationship of love and of peace, of joy, of hope, and of course it just never comes to an end. That's the faith, you see, the gift of God, the principle of faith that God puts in a person's heart and enables them to receive and to trust in, to rest in, and be united forever to Jesus Christ. But it's only faith, you see, that does that. And it's only faith that saves, that brings a person to salvation, rightness with God. But then there's a relationship too between faith and knowledge. You see, it's not a leap in the dark, as some people would have us to believe. It's not a blind leap of faith. It's trusting in the knowledge that God has revealed. He has given to us the Bible for that very reason. He has revealed to us the knowledge that He requires us to have. So this person, you see, with the gift of faith is enabled to believe, to trust in what God has revealed in His Word in the Bible. You see, people, it's perfectly reasonable. When you get to grips with it, it's not unreasonable. It's not unintellectual, as some of you might think or see, but people, it's knowing a person first and foremost. Eternal life, the Bible says, is knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ whom He sent. Knowing the persons and knowing that they are trustworthy. You see, people, you're not asked to trust in somebody who's just arrived on the scene, who doesn't have a track record, and that we don't know anything about. For the last 2,000 years and more, men and women have been putting their trust in God's Son, Jesus Christ, and have found Him to be exactly what the Bible declares Him to be. The Son of God with power. The one who is able not only to save, but to bring forgiveness and joy, peace and hope into their hearts and lives, and to keep them right to the very end of their course. They know whom they have believed. Not just about Him. You may know about a person, but that doesn't mean to say you know the person by experience. Faith, you see, the faith that God gives is a faith, you see, that brings a person into this relationship with God and His Son, Jesus Christ, so that they are able to say, I know whom I have believed. The judgment of God, when the Son of God returns, the Bible says, He will take vengeance upon all them that know not God, don't know God. That's the crime, you see. God is knowable because He has revealed Himself, and the fact that you don't know Him, well, that's not to your credit, rather the opposite. For that, God will bring you to judgment. So you see, people, it's imperative, not that you know about, but that you know God and that you know His Son, Jesus Christ. That is eternal life. Knowing who you believe and knowing, being persuaded that He is able to keep you, that He is able to save you, that He has this supreme ability that no other has, the ability that is to save you, however bad you've been, whatever catalogue of sins lies behind you, however many there be, however long you've been at it, trusting that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for sinners on the cross, has the supreme ability to save you from all that. From the uttermost of your guilt, or as some people say, He is able to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. And so He is. That is for the person who believes. The person, that is, who trusts, the person who has received Him, who has that principle of faith within them, given to them by God, not of their own accord. Knowing, of course, what we believe. And of course, well, that takes us to the Word of God, you see. You can't say that you love, you can't say that you trust your wife or your husband if you never listen to their words, if you take no account of your words. For instance, if I was to say to you that I love my wife, but I don't ever want to hear from her, I don't want to hear what she thinks or has to say, you would say that's foolishness. That's not a loving, trusting relationship, and you would be absolutely right, correct. No, people, if a person trusts in Jesus Christ, if a person believes in Jesus Christ, then they will want to hear his words. They will want to know what his thoughts are. And of course, the only place they are revealed is in his word in the Bible. And it's that, you see, that becomes paramount to the life of faith. Not what some synod says about women bishops, or what some church institute has to say about this, that, or the other thing. What the church has to say even about homosexuality. What does the Bible say? What does Jesus Christ say? What is his word? What is his mind on the matter? That is paramount to faith. A God-given faith, that is. The faith that saves, that brings salvation. We're not interested in the thoughts of men. It's the thoughts of men, you see, that have led us to destitution. It's the thoughts and ideas of men, politicians, philosophers, whoever you care to name. It's man's thinking and the glorifying of man's thinking that's led us to this cesspit of a nation that we are today. Because of our rejection of the Word of God. What God says is paramount to faith. So you see, people, the principle of faith, God-given faith, that is, rests upon trust in the knowledge that God has revealed about himself and his Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, well, his word, the Bible, because he has loved us and saved us, brought us salvation, we trust in his word. We find it to be absolutely dependable. We find it to be true. We find as God's indictment brings to the entire human race, we find all men to be liars, not a single one that can be trusted. But God's word is truth and is paramount to faith. Anything less than that may be faith of some kind, but it's not saving faith. It's not the faith that brings salvation and makes a person right with God. But that faith, of course, that involves trust, trusting in the person in whom you have believed, looking to that person, looking to God, that is, for all of your needs regarding salvation and all your earthly needs. That faith begins to see God as the arch provider, not Morrison's, Tesco's, or Sainsbury's, but the food on my table has come to me from God, perpendicularly, you might say. We look to God, faith looks to God in every circumstance. Whether the providence be a good one or a bad one, it came from God. Even the afflictions that we have to bear are for our good, you see, when you're trusting in God through Jesus Christ. But of course, if you have not faith, if faith has not been given to you, Well, those afflictions will just make you more bitter and more cynical than ever before. There is no profit in human suffering outside of faith. But to faith, it is very, very profitable indeed. Faith involves trusting, looking to God, coming to Him for our needs, running to Him, finding in Him a refuge from everything and all that's contrary to our eternal well-being, and yielding ourselves, submitting ourselves to Jesus Christ, because we found by experience in the past we refused to yield to God and His royal demands and His word, and that just led us into more and more bother, more trouble. It just multiplied sin and multiplied our grief and suffering. But you see, we've learned through faith, we have learned, you see, that the more we yield ourselves to Jesus Christ and His will in His word, the Bible, the more pleasant, the more delightful, and the more wonderful our relationship with Him is and our lives are. There's none of us who have this gift of God, faith that is in His Son, Jesus Christ. There's none of us, believe me, who would go back to where you are. We've been there, and no, thank you very much. We're not for going back. No, much, much better to be yielded to, submitted to Jesus Christ and His regal demands. And we are persuaded, we trust, you see, because we are persuaded in His ability not only to save us, He's done that by the blood of His cross, redeemed us for Himself, redeemed us from sin, taken us out of the cesspit of the world, brought us into His kingdom, and given us joy, eternal happiness. He saved us and we know it. But people, we also know, we are persuaded that He is able to keep us through all the dangers, toils and snares of this world, right to the end of our course, and then to present us to God, blameless before Him in love, in the glory of heaven. You see, a person with faith is a person with hope. They've got hope, not just for this world, but the world to come. I sympathize, I empathize with you even if you're a sufferer from some terminal disease and you don't have faith. I don't know how you possibly can face that. That must be the utmost of despair. What have you got if you haven't got faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ? You ain't got nothing. Nothing at all. No hope. I spoke to a young man, sixth form college year, so very well educated, much better than I myself, and he waxed very eloquently about evolution. He'd been indoctrinated from a child, and oh, he knew it. He knew it up one side and down the other. I concluded the discussion with him. I said to him, but that's nothing but utter despair. It's a doctrine of despair. And he looked at me with the saddest eyes and he said, yes, he said, you're right. You're right. But it's all we've got. If that's all you've got, then you are of all people to be most pitied, I tell you. If you do not have faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ, I tell you, you have no hope. But we are persuaded because of this God-given faith, this principle of faith that God has imparted to us. It's His gift, you see. It's not of ourselves. It's not of our own doing. It's God's doing. And people, as a result of that faith, we are persuaded that He is able to keep us through time and through eternity and to save us even from the very damnation of hell. So you see, this faith trusts in His word, in what He has spoken, revealed. When we read the Bible, you see, it's like Jesus speaking to us out of heaven. It's His word, and we trust Him personally. The one who has a track record, and a good track record. Not one failure. He has never lost any one of His own. All who come to Him, He will never, never, He says, turn them away. Those who come to Him, that is, in a God-given faith, that is, trusting, believing, receiving rather than rejecting, trusting Him to save and to keep them through time and through eternity. So you see, people, it's only as you trust. It's how salvation comes to a person. It's not rocket science. It's faith. You don't have to be clever. You don't have to have a doctorate in theology. Much and great understanding of the Bible. You need to know certain things, certainly, that Jesus Christ is a Savior, that He is God the Son and the Son of God, and that He is a Savior indeed. Ah, of course you can, my dear. Very good. Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. Have a good read. You see, people, it's trusting, it's receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, and from that point you are given the divine authority and right to belong to the family of God, brought into a relationship united to Jesus Christ forever, never to be separated. There's nothing. Bible gives us a list of all the things that might possibly separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. It talks about famine, sword, war, demons. And it goes on to say there's nothing in heaven, there's nothing in earth, there's nothing in hell. There is nothing in all eternity that can separate a person from the love of God in Jesus Christ when once they're into that relationship by faith with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it's as you yield yourself to Him, it's as you trust yourself to Jesus, who is to be trusted to the utmost. It's there that you find peace in the midst of a world that I dare say has gone mad in utter turmoil. It seems to me that just one spark will set your world ablaze with war once again from one corner to the other. Just but a step away from it. And people, I ask you, what hope will you have in the midst of that? Even now, the madness rages. There is only one person in all this universe, in all this world, that you can put your trust in. And that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's the call. That's the call, you see, to believe. That's what brings salvation. Not about being good, not about being religious, not about being a nice Middle Englander trying to be good, you know, respectable, cozy religion. This is good news for bad dudes. This is good news for those who have got it wrong so many ways, so many times. This is hope for the hopeless. This is joy for misery. This is peace for turmoil. And people, you receive it in Christ. In Christ, The world wants all these things. Yes, you want hope, you want joy, you want peace, you want all these things, but you don't want the one who can give it to you. But nobody else can. You go on rejecting Jesus, then you go on rejecting these things. Cameron, with all these women cabinet, they won't give it to you. He can make all the changes he wants. But he don't change God's law. He can change the law about marriage, but he doesn't change God's law. He can legislate for all the filth in the world that he likes. The filthiest prime minister that you ever had in this country. You go down and down and down and down into the cesspit of uncleanness and despair and hopelessness. And there's only one place in the midst of it, only one light that shines in the darkness, but the darkness does not understand it. But the light's not been snuffed out, not yet, and it never will be. Because he's the light of the world, and all that come to him shall never walk in darkness again, but have the light of life. So I urge you, trust, believe, receive, look to him, run to him, flee to him. You will find him a refuge, a savior. You will find him the most dependable person as ever you could possibly imagine. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And God's command to you again, it's very, very simple. A child could understand. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Well, it's in God's book. I offer it to you. Once again, yours to take and do with as you will. But it's his word. It's the word of a loving Savior. You can read here in Mark's Gospel, if you will, of the wonderful things that he did for many, many broken people. How that he put their lives back together again, gave them a hope and a future for this world and the world to come. Jesus, the mighty Son of God, that's who and what the Bible's about from start to finish. It's about Jesus, a person, as opposed to a religion. Jesus Christ commands you this afternoon, believe, believe, only believe, and you shall be saved. Whoever believes to that one, nothing Jesus says shall be impossible. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word, it's offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. If you want one, come and ask for one. God bless you and have mercy upon your souls.